We shall now turn to Acts chapter 8, and we'll consider this morning verses 26 to 40, the second half of the chapter. And here we're told about the Ethiopian eunuch and his conversion. Everyone needs the gospel. We are all lost by nature. We're born sinners, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're born lost, and we have to be born again. You must be born again. There's different kinds of people in the world. There's some better than others, or some are very kind, very loving, very helpful. Some are very religious. All kinds of people. Some are really nasty people. But every single person needs to be converted. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. And Jesus came to save us. And the gospel is the message about Jesus, telling men and women how Jesus came, how he died on the cross to save sinners, how he rose again on the third day, and how we must receive Christ, how we must be united to Christ. We need Christ as our Saviour. Now here we see Philip very busy in Samaria, preaching the gospel there. We saw that last Sunday morning, looking at the first half of the chapter. And how God's Spirit was working mightily in Samaria. Hundreds and thousands of people were being converted to Christ. There was a great movement of the Spirit. People being saved there in Samaria. But then God tells Philip, I want you to go away from Samaria, away down south, way down to the desert, because there's one person there. I want you to meet up with this one person. It's interesting how God is interested, how he's concerned about the multitudes, but he's also concerned about every individual. Every single one. The Lord Jesus Christ, I know my sheep. I call my sheep by name. He's not some shepherd who has thousands of sheep and he doesn't know one sheep from another. He knows them intimately. He's concerned about every single one of them. And there's this individual down there on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza who needs the gospel. An individual who's seeking, who perhaps is sighing and crying, concerned and interested. And God finds a way. Seek and you shall find. Call upon the Lord and he'll answer you. And even the prayer of the unconverted is heard in God's mercy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's never a waste of time to pray. Whatever your situation, pray. And particularly pray for the most important thing of all. Pray that your soul would be saved. So here's this man seeking the Lord, and God sends Philip to him, and Philip explains to him the gospel. He listens. He receives the message, he trusts in the Saviour, and he is saved, and he goes on his way rejoicing. There's joy in being saved. Are you saved? Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Sins forgiven, peace with God, his love, consciousness of his love. It's a wonderful thing to have the joy of God in your heart. So first of all, we have here a needy soul. He's a rich man, powerful man, successful man, and a lost man. You can be so successful in this world, and we see lots of them around us, doing very well, wealthy, successful, and yet they don't have the one thing needful. He comes from Ethiopia. He's an African. He would be a black man. But he seems to have come into contact with Judaism. And indeed, it appears that he is a convert to Judaism. Converts to Judaism, they were called proselytes. And he would seem to be one of them, because the first record we have of an ordinary Gentile being converted is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. So here's a man who had already converted, as it were, to Judaism, who would have been circumcised and associated with Judaism. You see, the Jews had dispersed in different directions. There were many Jews in Egypt and Alexandria and places like that. And they had also moved down further south into Ethiopia as well. Just as there were Jews in Greece and Jews in Persia and so many places. And wherever the Jews went, they had their religion and they had their scriptures and their practices. And it would seem that this man had become disillusioned with paganism, with the worship of idols, and he'd come to worship the one living and true God. Because of his interest in these things, he decided to make a journey to Jerusalem. That couldn't have been easy for him. It was a long way. It's 1,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Now that maybe isn't too difficult a journey to make in a plane, but there were no planes in those days. He went in his chariot, no doubt with servants with him, walking on each side, and you can imagine the length of time it would take for him to traverse 1,500 miles. We're told that he was a eunuch of great authority. It seems in those times most of the courtiers were eunuchs. He had great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, kind of chancellor of the exchequer. And he had come up to Jerusalem to worship. So here's this wealthy individual coming in a chariot, good-living man, no doubt, very respectable man, highly thought of, but he needs the Saviour, just as you and I need the Saviour. He felt his need, and so he made this long journey. He would have had to get leave of absence from his job, prolonged leave of absence, to make such a pilgrimage all the way to Jerusalem. He wanted to know more. He came to Jerusalem, we're told, to worship God. Came to the temple and he worshipped God there. No doubt he was in the synagogues of Jerusalem worshipping God. And while he was in Jerusalem, he acquired a scroll of Isaiah, part of the scriptures. They didn't have printed books in those days, so books would be very expensive. Paper was expensive. They wrote, for example, on parchment, which was made out of leather. And sometimes they would write on papyrus, which would be taken from Egypt and by a costly process. So paper itself was expensive and there was no printing, so the scriptures, the whole book of Isaiah, had to be painfully written out by hand on this leather parchment or papyrus scroll. So it would be very expensive to buy. He'd acquired a copy of Isaiah and he was reading it. So we have this man wanting to learn, seeking, trying to find out more, reading the scriptures, poring over it. There's much that's attractive about this man. But without Philip, without the gospel, he would have returned to Ethiopia, a lost man, and he would have died, and he would have gone to hell. Just as people today can be in church, and they can be in church all their lives, listening to the gospel, but it's not just a matter of being in church. You can go to church every Sunday in your life, morning and evening, and you can go to midweek meetings, and you can have worship in your house, morning and evening, every day of your life, and you can say grace before every meal, and you can end up in hell. So it's not religious practices that saves us. It's not good works that saves us. It's not keeping the Sabbath that saves us. It's not doing our best that saves us. How important it is to grasp this. You can be so religious, so good living, and end up in hell. We can only be saved by having Christ in our hearts. And if we don't have Christ in our hearts, we're lost. And we'll die as good living people, highly thought of by everyone, and open our eyes in hell, being in torment. Do you have Christ in your heart? That's what matters. Nothing else. Secondly, so we have a needy soul here, this Ethiopian eunuch. Secondly, we have a great Saviour. We're told that Philip was sent to him. The angel of the Lord tells Philip to go down south to the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he makes his journey down south. And there he sees a man in a chariot. No doubt, lots of servants around him. Bodyguard or whatever with him. And then the Spirit of the Lord says to Philip, join thyself to his chariot. So Philip runs up, catches up with the chariot, and he's walking along beside the chariot, listening. And he hears the man reading the prophet Isaiah. In those days, when people read, they always read out loud. It's a modern practice to read to yourself. But in those days, they would read out loud. And he was reading, and Philip knew that it was Isaiah that he was reading. So Philip shouts to him in his chariot, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this is a man who's willing to learn, and he's searching for the truth. And you notice that the part of the scripture where he is reading is from Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah 53, he is led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Who is led as a sheep to the slaughter? Who is this lamb dumb before his shearers? In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. written by Isaiah 800 years before this, 800 years before Christ. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he talking about himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus, God's provision. We're all lost. We're all sinners. We sinned in Adam, our first parent, and we've been sinning ever since. And because we're sinners, we're condemned. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. There's some who are big sinners, some who are not such big sinners, but we're all sinners, and as sinners, we're criminals in the sight of God, breaking God's law, all under his condemnation, and there's a place being prepared for sinners. There's a hell. So we need to be saved. But there's a Savior for sinners. There's this one, this Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. This man had seen the sacrifices up at Jerusalem. He'd seen the sheep and the bullocks being offered there in Jerusalem upon the altar. And he'd come away because the blood of sheep and the blood of goats and the blood of bullocks cannot take away sin. They're only pictures. They're only rituals pointing to Jesus. There's only one sacrifice that can deliver from sin, and that is Jesus Christ. It requires precious blood. Blood far more valuable than the blood of a sheep. The blood far more valuable than the blood of any ordinary man. It requires the blood of the Son of God. And only the blood of the Son of God can take away sin. And this Lamb of God becomes the sacrifice. And he takes our sin upon himself. And he suffers in our room and place. And the wrath of God and the curse of God comes upon him. The wrath and curse that should have come upon you and me, it comes on Jesus. And so there's this wonderful message that Philip has to tell the eunuch. There, sitting beside him in his chariot, there's a Savior. And the Savior is Jesus Christ. God became man. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth in Galilee. And there he lived a godly life, an obedient life. And then he was arrested and he died on the cross in Jerusalem and he rose again. And he's the Savior. And you look to Jesus, you trust in Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus and you are saved. He died for men and women to save them. He endured hell for them. And his precious blood, when we believe in it, washes away our sins. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He was condemned, although he was innocent. You and I are not innocent. So he takes our condemnation upon himself. Who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. Who shall tell his children? Who can tell the children Jesus had? Well, Jesus couldn't have children because he was cut off as a young man before he had time to have children. And yet he has lots of children. Behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father. Jesus is the Father, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he's the Father of his people. And when we come to Jesus, when we believe in him, we become the children of Jesus Christ. Behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. A great Saviour, and through him we have salvation. Jesus sent out his disciples with that message to all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Jesus sent out his disciples, and here we have Philip sent to this man with the same message. There's a Saviour, a mighty Saviour, willing to save. How wonderful that we have good news today for a perishing world. A world where there's so much bad news, but there's good news in this world because there is a Saviour. So in the third place, a vital commitment. We have here a needy person, a great Saviour, and thirdly, a vital commitment. He hears the message, he knows the gospel, but that's not enough. So many people hear the message. So many people know the gospel. So many people read the Bible, and yet they're not saved because commitment is required. And notice what he says. He says, as they went on their way, verse 36, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want to be baptized. I want to put my faith in Christ. I want to be a follower of him. I want to show by my baptism that I am a believer, that I am a follower of Jesus. And Philip says to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It's interesting that this verse is missing from many modern translations of the Bible. But it's an important verse, and it's there in most of the manuscripts of the scriptures. It has been preserved for us. It's there in the received text, and it should be in our Bibles. Philip says to him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the one he claimed to be. He is the one I need. He is the Savior of the world. I believe in him. What is faith? There are three elements to faith. Knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge, knowing who Jesus is. Assent, accepting that as truth. And trust, depending upon the Christ presented to you in the message. Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one, I believe he is the Son of God. And so we're told he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptists lay considerable stress on this, that they went down into the water. And so they say, this means that you should be immersed. But you notice that it says that they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. Now, in Baptist circles, it's only one person that's immersed, not the person who's performing the baptism. But they went down both into the water. What is that really talking about? It's talking about them standing there in the wadi, the little stream, and Philip taking water, pouring it over him or sprinkling it upon him. That's all that's referred to there. And through this, he made his profession. Before his servants, recorded for us. It's not a secret, not a secret disciple. He's coming out into the open, and he's believing with his heart and confessing with his mouth the Lord Jesus. Profession of faith is so important. It's part of it. Vital commitment. Are you making a vital commitment like that? Have you come out on the Lord's side and professed your faith in him? Have you really trusted? Are you depending upon Jesus as your Saviour? And then professing that before men. So, a vital commitment. And then, fourthly, a happy ending. We like stories with a happy ending. We like films with a happy ending. For many people, there'll be a sad ending. Because Jesus told us there's a broad gate and a broad way that leads to destruction. And many go in through that broad gate and go along that broad road that leads to destruction. The majority. That's what we see today. The vast majority of people are on the broad road to destruction. And then Jesus says there's a narrow gate and a narrow road that leads to life. And few there be that find it. The narrow gate. What is that narrow gate? The new birth. The broad gate of the first birth. But we've got to go through the narrow gate. Few there be that find it. So many people, vast majority of people, going on day after day, passing away, and ending up in a lost eternity. But for this man, it was a happy ending. He believed in Jesus. He was baptized. And we're told that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He was so happy in the chariot, going mile after mile, reading on about the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophecy of Isaiah. And there's so much of Christ there. Christ is on every page of Scripture. And the Spirit of the Lord helping him to understand what he was reading. Philip was taken away. He was found in Azotus. And he made his way up the coast, preaching in the various cities, until he came to Caesarea. And it would seem that he stopped there in Caesarea. And he made his home there. Because we next meet Philip in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8, where Paul comes to Caesarea. And who does he find accommodation with? With Philip. And we're told that he stayed with Philip. And we're told that Philip had four daughters who were prophets. Four godly daughters through whom God revealed various things. So there was Philip, the minister of the church in Caesarea, and he had a lovely godly home with godly daughters. But what about the Ethiopian eunuch? He went on his way rejoicing, all the way back to Ethiopia. And no doubt there sharing the gospel with the people he knew, with the Jews that were in Ethiopia and with others. And there's a very ancient church in Ethiopia today. Maybe it dates back all the way to this Ethiopian eunuch who first brought the gospel to Ethiopia. It's wonderful how God works, how he brings the message of salvation to men and women in different parts of the world. There in darkest Africa, the message of gospel light reached, bringing salvation through this man. A happy ending. Rejoicing in the Lord. What kind of ending will it be for us? Do we know what it is to rejoice in Jesus Christ today? Our sins all forgiven. God is our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour. The Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts. Peace that passes knowledge. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Going on our way rejoicing. What a lovely picture. It can be the picture of your life too. Because this gospel is freely offered to everybody in the world. Whosoever will, whoever wants, the gospel is for you.